Father, we thank you so much for this privilege you've given us to go into your word. We recognize that it is the word of God, and it is humanly, we are humanly incapable of teaching and preaching and unraveling, Lord, the wisdom of God compressed, Lord, in this written word. And so I come and I strip myself of every confidence in my knowledge, in my preparation, in my ability, and I ask you for fresh mercy, that unction from your throne and a fresh anointing will be upon my heart and upon my lips. That, Lord, you will, that unction will flow from you through me to your people without any hindrance, causing your word to come forth, Lord, in power and in accuracy, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit. And I will speak as an oracle of God, Lord, and you will causing, Lord, all of your will, Lord, to be established through this time of ministry of the word in the name of Jesus. Father, we are asking for an internal, eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own. Our wills becoming more submitted to your will. Our minds more illuminated with the revelation and the light that comes from the Holy Spirit. And our emotions further controlled, subdued, and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That we will not be the same, but will become more like you in our speaking, in our thinking, in our understanding, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because as your words goes forth, I duck under the cover of my fathers. Let the power, Lord, of the Holy Spirit go behind this word wherever it goes throughout the entire earth. Let it break yokes. Let it bring light. Let it set the captives free. Let it open deaf ears. Open blind eyes. God, cause strength to come to the weak and the weary. That we will arise and shine, and we will stand upright in our place in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, because I ask you now that you help me. Help me, Lord, have mercy on me. Help me to be concise. Help me to be precise. That I will not say unnecessary things, but I'll be a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. Bring things out of the treasure of your word, things new and old, and causing the same, Lord, to bring an eternal blessing into our lives, taking us from where we are to where you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I also talk under the cover of my fathers. So go into this time, Lord, I ask that you help me to teach, to preach, and to minister as they would have done if they were here personally. That the glory will go to the name of Jesus, and the blessings will come to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord dropped this word in my heart, and it's entitled Dwelling in the Secret Place of Love. All right, so we're going to start Proverbs chapter 14, verses 26 and 27. Thank you. Proverbs 14, 26 and 27 in the King James. Let's read it together. In the fear of the Lord is what? Strong confidence, and his children have a place of refuge. Next verse. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Psalm 91, verses 1 to 3. Please give it to me in the Amplified. Thank you. Amplified. Let's read it together. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. Next verse. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. On him I lean and rely, and in him I confidently trust. Not partially trust, confidently trust. For then he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. Satan has set snares. He is setting snares, and he will continue to set snares for the children of God. And it is important to understand that all the evil that you see in the world, you know, the social crimes, murder, kidnapping, you know, sex slavery, child trafficking, all the abominable diseases that you and I see around us every day, the different diseases that the devil is just bringing up, that we are on trying to understand the cause of it and how we can intervene. You know, all sorts of situations, they are all an orchestration by the devil. To orchestrate something means to arrange it, to direct it, like an orchestra. You know, to arrange it, to direct it, to produce a desired effect, especially secretly. So you do it, and nobody knows it was you that did it. That's Satan's specialty. And he's releasing that, he's using the power in the air. There is a power in the air. He's using that power in the air to do this orchestration. And that power is coming through human spirits. Now you must understand, the Bible says the heavens of the heavens belong to the Lord. The earth he has given to the sons of men. So really, no one can have inroad into the earth, God or the devil, without men. They both need human spirits. Now look at what the devil does. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 to 3. Quickly, thank you. Ephesians 2, 2 to 3. Wherein, in time past, ye walked according to the course of this world. That word course of the world suggests a river. There is a river of death directing the course of this world. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, or a river of life, that will make you escape from the snares being set by the course of the river of death. You need to understand it. Let's continue to read. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. It's always funny to me when people are disobedient and have the imagination that they're doing their will secretly. It's an orchestration. They think they're in control, but they are not in control. Someone is pulling their strings. And they will tell you, nobody can tell me what to do. And somebody's just told you to say that. It's very sly. That's why it's an orchestration. It's a deception. It's charming. It's enchanting. It's by remote control. I can stay here and use a remote on the television, and somebody else can be close to the television, and when the television goes off, they will blame that person. But I have the remote. That's what Satan is doing. So when people say that they are disobedient, that they are doing their will, they are doing Satan's will. And you are taken captive by that power in the air. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. What is he saying? There is a nature giving rise to the power. Okay? So the nature, Satan is working with the power in the air. He's synchronizing what he's doing with the nature in the flesh. And he's controlling what is in the mind. He's controlling what's going on in the flesh. So ultimately, he controls what they say. And through what they say, power is released into the earth. And he then uses that power to do everything he wants to do. Like Pastor Lee preached so beautifully and powerfully this morning, when he was saying that if a Christian is walking in rebellion and disobedience, that Christian too, because of the fact that they are not in submission to God, has inadvertently made their heart a portal for the same power to come into the earth. What a shame. But thank God, God is greater than the devil. Amen. I say God is greater than the devil. All right. And so Satan's aim is to have an abundant stock of power. so that he can use that power without warning to attack, to steal from us, to kill us, and to destroy what God wants to do in our lives. If he cannot kill you, he will take you up the path of destiny. If he knows that you cannot, then he will make you swerve. I'm getting a bit ahead of myself. He made Samson swerve. Samson swerved. He did everything Satan wanted him to do and thought he was doing his own will. But God still used him. Alright? Okay. So we see that, okay, in John 10:10. We're not going to turn there. So many times Satan can attack directly, or he can use men under his control. Now, God, on the other hand, that's the bad news. Now, this is the good news. Amen. Tell anybody it's time for the good news. Amen. Alright. God is a loving and responsible Father. And he has prepared an impenetrable, okay, invincible place of refuge. The question is, it's our responsibility to find our way inside there. There is a place called there. You have to be in that place of refuge. And you're going to be there in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so see, this is what God is trying to do. Okay, all right. Now, this place of refuge, when you talk about the secret place of Most High, is secret. When something is secret, it's not obvious. It's not obvious. So, it's not a physical location. Lo, he is there. Lo, he is there. Where is the place of secret place of refuge? It's in our heart. It's a heart location. This secret place. But the Bible says it is a place of strong confidence where you can relax and rest in the refuge God has provided. Amen. Alright, so it's a place in your heart where you are under covering of spiritual fathers. A place of absolute sincerity, a place of prompt obedience to spiritual instruction, and so you are in that place of refuge. So Satan tries, but he can't get you because this is impenetrable. Amen. Look at Psalm 46, verse 1 to 3. Let's look at it in the Amplified. Psalm 46. Let's say it out loud. God is our refuge and strength, mighty and impenetrable to temptation, a very present and well-proved help in time of trouble. Samuel has proved it. Joseph has proved it. Daniel has proved it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have proved it. You are going to prove it. Amen. Amen. Next verse. Therefore, why are we not afraid? Because it's an impenetrable place to temptation. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth should change, and though the mountains be shaken into the midst of the seas. Next verse. Though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling and tumult, Selah, pause and calmly think of that. It means that when there is a volcano and you are in the vicinity, you are protected. When there is a tsunami, you are protected. When there is a mudslide and literal mountains flow down into the sea, you are protected. Natural disasters are some of the things that give people the most, they call it the force of nature. And that force of nature, you know, it makes us really afraid. Once you are on the ship, you're on an aeroplane, and the plane is going through turbulence, and wind doesn't say, fasten your seatbelt. Baga up that, hey Jesus, people cannot eat again, they lose your appetite. Or you are in the sea, you know, and you know that you have this some turbulence, you know, and the boat or the ship or whatever you're in, you know, begins to, it's not as calm and as smooth as it was before. There's a lot of, it's uncomfortable. In those kinds of times, men cry out. It's one of the Psalms. It says that when they go on the seas and know they face their boats go up and down, then they cry out unto the Lord. Everybody cried out. Jonah cried out unto the Lord. Alas, he wasn't in the secret place. Okay, all right. So the point I'm making here is that natural disasters have great force, and many times, human wisdom and human strength, or whatever human beings construct, can be destroyed in an instant by the force of nature. In an instant, carry whole houses just like that. Carry the house, lock, stock, and barrel. People in the window trying to escape. The whole house just be carried and moved down. You know, so those kind of people are really scared. God is trying to tell you that though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling and tumult, you have to meditate and let it sink into your spirit. You are in a place of refuge. Your God has to be bigger than those things in your heart. Where's the secret place? It's in our hearts. It's not outside. It's in your heart. So you have to walk your heart into a place where you're always there. And then you keep yourself there. God's going to help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Alright, so we see that. Alright, so this, now look at the solution. Look at verse 4. How is God going to keep you that place of refuge? There is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Okay, next verse. God is in the midst of her. God is not the river. The river, God is in the midst of the river. So what is the river? The river is the river of life. It's the river of life. Abundant life. And God is in the midst of us. So that life will take you into God and hide you in the secret place of God. God is love. So that life will take you into love. God is love. Love is God. God doesn't have love. God is love. Amen. Alright, so you see, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her right early at the dawn of the morning. Next verse. Thank you. The nations raged. The kingdoms tottered and were moved. These are ordinary people now. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. What's the Bible trying to tell us here? It's trying to tell us that, you know, we cannot, when we are in that secret place, we cannot be moved by the force of nature. We cannot be moved by physical enemies. We cannot be moved by armies. God utters his voice. And when you utter your voice after God has uttered his voice, guess what? The forces of nature have to obey. That's what it means by the earth melted. When God utters his voice, if you go to Joel, to you look at that Joel army, Bible says that God utters his voice before his army. So when God has uttered his voice, whatever the army declares must come to pass. So we're in a season when God is making the Zion church grow in strength and increase in strength. And we need to intelligently understand what's going on and cooperate with God. Amen. For example, we saw the release of 21 of the Chibok girls, you know, as a sign that the battle has been turned in our favor. Amen. Judgment has been given in favor of the saints. Amen. And now the saints are becoming stronger and stronger. So the key now is that to understand the secret of our strength is in the love of God. Amen. That is the strength. It is inside love that you and I are truly secure. And the river of Zoe, of life, is the one flowing in Zion that takes you there and keeps us there. Amen. Now, why is it important for you to dwell in the secret place of love? Dwelling in the secret place of love shields us and those under our sphere of influence from satanic attack. Look at Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 40. Dwelling in the secret place. Okay, Mark 4. Thank you. Let's read together. And the same day, I can't hear you. On the same day, amen. When the even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. What did he say to them? Let us pass over unto the other side. Next verse. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. Next verse. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. Next verse. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him, and sayest unto him, Master, carest not that we perish? Next verse. Thank you. And he arose and did what? Rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. Secret place. Impenetrable. Now that's Jesus operating from a secret place. And the wind did what? Cease. And there was a great calm. Next verse. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? What is he saying there? That faith and fear cannot coexist. They're mutually exclusive. If you have faith, you can have fear. Because perfect love casts out fear. Amen? We're going to be looking at that later on. So we see Jesus here dwelling in the secret place, which is the love of God, understanding the fact that powerful natural forces are subject to God's unlimited power. Remember, Jesus had the spirit without measure. And right now, we have a spirit with measure, but we are coming to a time when the church is going to inherit very soon in Jesus' name. Amen. So he knew what he had. The Bible says, love is the greatest force in the universe. It's not a feeling. Love is not a feeling. God is not a feeling. God is a person. Love is a person. Love is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So when you say that, Holy Spirit, please enfold me, you are saying, Lord, I want the love of God to enfold my life. It is from that place of love that you can activate the unlimited power of God. In full measure. Jesus knew what he had. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 7. Ecclesiastes 8 7. Quickly. I think it's the one that says many waters cannot drown love. That's the scripture I want. I think it's 11:7. Anyway, what I'm trying to bring out there is this. Love is a force. And the Bible itself says that many waters cannot drown love. Love, so it's not, no, you see many times when people want to get married. Many waters. It's not, that's not the love is talking about. That's not what love is talking about. You know, even though we are growing towards it, amen. It is pure, undiluted agape love. Thank you, Song of Solomon. Thank you very much. Say, let's read together. Many waters cannot quench love. So a storm, or a wave, or a tsunami, or a volcano cannot drown love. Neither can floods drown it. It's a greater flood. It will swallow up that flood. Just like Moses' serpent swallowed up Jannes and Jambres' serpent, love will swallow up. The spiritual force of love will produce a great calm by swallowing up the force. The greater swallows up the lesser. It swallows up the lesser. And all of a sudden, you saw a great calm. But it needs to be released. Jesus had to release it. So when Jesus said, he rebuked the wind. What are you doing? Come and become the way you are supposed to be. And you be still. Don't, it's the one disturbing you. You be still. And was a great calm. We're going to get there in Jesus' name. Alright? He says that if a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would be utterly contemned. If you read that in different translations, it means that it will be scorned. It will be despised. You can't give money for love. The agape love of God. You cannot give. There's no gift you can give for love. There is no nothing that will can compare to love. The only thing you can give is yourself. Your soul. Your heart. So that love can pass through you. And change you. And then flow from you so that you can then be a blessing to others. Alright? So we can see Jesus here, being a blessing to the disciples by being in the secret place. So he was able to activate that force of love to be a blessing to the people around him. Paul did the same thing, activated it to a degree. Every man has his own degree. Paul was able to activate and limit the damage that would have been done. Saved all the lives, but lost the sheep and all the cargo. To a certain degree. You can see him operating there. But because Jesus had the Spirit without measure, and Paul was growing towards it. Amen? Amen? Alright, so we see. So, why were the disciples unable to... You ask yourself, what were they looking at when the water started coming little by little? You know, what were they looking at? Is now ankle deep. The water is now knee deep. It's not funny. What are they doing? What are they looking at? It's very important to ask ourselves this question. You know, why? You remember that Jesus gave them an instruction. What did he say to them? Let us go to the other side. They forgot the instruction. They were thinking more about themselves than the instruction. No, that's what happens. Satan creates a diversion. And then he makes us focus on the diversion. And we take our eyes off the instruction. And then he can do what he wants to do. Because once you are off from the instruction, you cannot enter into the place of love. Because already you are overcome by fear. Let's look at 1 John chapter 4. Verse 17 to 19. 1 John chapter 4. Let's read together. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. This is the day of judgment. And God wants us to have boldness. But we cannot have that boldness if our love is not being made perfect. So don't let your love remain the way it is. Perfect it. Amen. Perfect the love of God in our lives. We have no choice, brethren. Because this is an evil day. So if you want to be bold and stand confident in the secret place of the Most High, then you have to perfect the love of God. Because as you will see, even though he says in Proverbs, that in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, in true and place of refuge, there are conditions. Let's read it on. Okay? Now, because as he is, so are we in this world. God, that many times the statement we need to meditate, we need to think deeply and let it sink in. As you grow spiritually, as you grow under covering, you become as he is in this world. It is something it's not something we earn, it is something he does by grace. It is beyond what you can say, oh, I got it. It's something he gives. Amen? And when he gives it, you assume it. You don't take it apologetically. You stand in it confidently. Amen? Alright, next verse. There is no fear where? In love. But what? Perfect love casteth out fear. So if you have fear, it means your love is not perfect enough. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Next verse. We love him because he first loved us. And security of love that Pastor D was talking about earlier. It's not your love that is going to earn you. Your love is simply a response to his. Amen. Our love for him is simply a response to the one he has for us. So if you rest secure in the love he has for you, then gradually and progressively, he will teach you how to love him. It's not guesswork love. It's not the one, let me see how much you love me. He himself will show you, this is how I want you to love me. This is how I want you to love me. This is what it means to love me. And he will show you. So then it's something that you then do willingly, something you do gladly, and your relationship with him begins to grow and to increase. Amen. Amen. Alright? So we grow in love. And it's the Holy Spirit that teaches us to grow in that love. God himself is the one that teaches us to grow in that love. Look at Psalm 91, verse 9 and verse 14. That psalm, we quote it many times, you know, but you must also remember that it has conditions. Amen. I said the psalm has what? Conditions. That means that if you don't fulfill those conditions, then actually, you may not actually enjoy that experience. That's why it's a condition. Look at verse 9. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. So that's making the Lord your refuge. The Lord there is love. God is love. So because you have made love your refuge, love is your default response. When people do things against you, you're thinking, how can I respond in love? You're not trying to get your own back. Because you don't let any man take your crown. Don't let any man lure you out of a secret place. Because Satan does that. He sends people to lure people out. He sent Delilah to do what? Lure Samson out. And she lured him out. And then he now finished him. So it's important to be clear in your mind that I know what this is about, okay? And look at verse 14. Verse 14, thank you. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. See, you have to look at the scripture and be honest. He says, therefore, because. That means that he will not deliver him if he does not do what? If he does not set his love on him. So God has to be number one love. First love. He will not take second place. He, in your heart, he has to be number one. Loving him, pleasing him must be top priority. That's what he's talking about here. Says, I will set him on high because he has known my name. My name there being my character of love. He has walked with me and I have rubbed off on him. I have rubbed off on her. My love has rubbed off on her. So my love has overshadowed her. So she is lost. If you look on the outside, all you see is my love. But she's inside it. That's what he's saying. So these are the conditions that God has given us, you know, to enter the secret place. And note this, brethren, God will not lower the conditions. You know, Jesus asked, he said, if there's be another way, let this cup pass. God said, there's no other way. There's no other way. Jesus had to pray himself to do it God's way. You and I are going to have to pray ourselves to forgive. We're going to have to pray ourselves to show mercy. We're going to have to pray ourselves to walk in love. We're going to have to pray ourselves to stop being envious. We're going to have to pray ourselves. God will not settle for less. He loves us too much to allow that to happen. We have to come up and He will help us come up to that standard in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see that the place of defense is that secret place of love, and we have conditions to get in there. The second reason why we need to dwell in the secret place of Most High is that dwelling in that secret place enables us to dominate spiritual forces and natural forces the way Jesus did. Powerful spiritual forces can be dominated by the power of love. That's the will of God for us. Amen. Amen. All right. Look at Matthew 14, verse 23 to 26, just to see another example. Again, Jesus is the best example there is. Amen. Matthew 14. Thank you. All right. And when He had sent the multitude away, I can't hear you. He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there. Stop. You and I need to have alone encounters. Alone encounter. Only you and God. Like they say, you are TTMG and God. Only the two of you. It's an alone encounter. It's in that place that God begins to reveal Himself to us. It's in that place that God begins to enfold us in His love. God begins to teach you. Being with God takes you. You can't walk with God. And now we walk with God as a company. You understand what I mean? As a family. You understand what I mean? But in that walking with God, each one of us will have our alone time and alone encounters with God. Nobody can do that one for you. You have to do it yourself. That's where Jacob becomes Israel. Wrestling on your own with God. That's what this was. Okay? Praying. Okay? The next verse. But the sheep, notice that He has sent the disciples away. But the sheep was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. The person who takes time out to learn how to walk with God, to learn how to pray, may look stupid. The people who don't are going in the sheep. It's as if they've gone ahead. But guess what? They're going to meet up with the wind. In this life, you will meet up with situations and circumstances orchestrated by the devil. I'm not preaching something that is bad. The Bible says in the world we will have tribulation. So it's not me that said it. Jesus Christ said it. So this, you can see that in the midst of the sea, they were tossed with waves and the wind was contrary. At the time they left, the wind was not contrary. But on the way, in the middle, when they had no way of escape, the wind was contrary. Look at Daniel. Look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Look at their lives. There were times when it was their knowledge of God that took them through. Many times. In lion's den, was it his ability as a president that took him through? No. When the boys were in the fire, the three boys were in the fire, was it their ability to do accounting or actuarial science or aerospace engineering, or was that what took them through? No, it didn't matter one bit. When the king said that they should kill all the magicians, and Daniel had to go and beg, why is the king hasty? Just let us desire the mercies of the God of heaven. All night was what brought it out. Brethren, you had better learn about this God. Children, you had better learn about this God. If it happened for them, it will happen for us. It happened as an example so we can learn. There is no shortcut. This is the time to learn it. Because at the time the disciples were in that place, they were stranded. Is that the time to pray? When the wind is contrary and water is coming into the boat. That's definitely not the time to pray. When it was clear, when there was no wind, when you were on land, firm ground, that was the time to learn to pray. That was the time to learn to walk with God. That was the time to learn to walk in the love of God. So that He can stand you in good stead. Bible says boldness in the day of judgment. So you are bold, knowing that whatever comes, I'm getting to the other side. And we're going to get there in Jesus' name. So we see here that the wind was contrary. Next verse. Thank you. Holy Spirit. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus did what? Went unto them walking on the sea. That's the message. Jesus came when? In the fourth watch. The Bible says in one place that in the third or fourth watch. Walking in the supernatural, being able to dominate by the power of the Holy Spirit is something that happens in the fourth watch. The fourth watch is the last watch of the night. You have 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. is the first watch. You have, thank you. Fourth watch, thank you. In the fourth watch, between 3 and 6 of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. Why did he come at that time? It is very instructive that our parents have taught us in this house that we should wake up at this time to do what? Pray. So that you too can be walking on the sea. The sea that represents people. Revelation 17:15. Represents people. So you are dominating the spiritual force coming out of people. I've seen Mr. Johnson do so many times. Talk to people, they are very argumentative. I'm just going to just say, please, I'm sorry, please come into my office. And the person will come out smiling and laughing. Yes, sir. Baba, yes, sir. But what did you say to him? Nothing. Power. Secret place. Some things will not work with wisdom, oratory, explanation, break it down. No, it's just pure power. Power. It's power. So this is what Jesus did. He came unto them. Abameda. Walking on the water. Let's be honest, brethren. If you saw somebody walking on the water. La Rokutu. Having been in a storm all night. You do, you will cry out. It's a spirit. Next verse. Is there a spirit that Anjonu, what has I not seen before? And when the disciples were walking water, they were troubled, saying, "It's a spirit," and they cried out for fear. Again, the sign that they are not perfect in love. Next verse. But straightway Jesus said unto them, "Speak unto them, saying, Be of good cheer; it is I; be not afraid." Next verse. Now look at this. And Peter answered him, Agapita, and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And Jesus, next verse. And he said, "Come." What did Jesus say? Come. What did Jesus say? Come. What did Jesus say? Come. And Peter stepped out of the water, out of the boat, and come down out of the ship, and he actually walked on the water. But guess what? Where is the secret place? Where is the secret place? In his heart. So he's focused. Anytime you put attention on the external and you ignore what's going on in your heart, you tend to lose focus. That's what Peter did. All of us can make that mistake. So it's not as if we are better than him. We're just learning from his mistake. Okay, next verse. But when he saw the wind burst, you know what Satan did? He upped the ante. Increased the ferocity of the wind. So initially Peter came out and then didn't just do ha. Satan is a master strategist. He's a stage manager. He knows how to do things. You will see later on. And as soon as he got Peter's focus off, where? In his heart, not outside. But he used the outside to distract him from the inside. Bible says he will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. Isaiah 26:3. So he did just, and you know he does that for us. He takes our mind. It takes your mind off what God is saying. Okay? Takes your mind off the love of God. Next verse. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Next verse. And when they were come to the ship, the wind ceased. I thought the wind became more boisterous. Ishunin. He had achieved his aim. May Satan not succeed in our lives in Jesus' name. He will not distract us in Jesus' name. But he did it deliberately. He did it to... So Peter wanted to copy Jesus, and he could have under covering, but he did not focus on the instruction. The kingdom of God does not come by observation. But where is the kingdom of God? It is within you. It's within. The secret place is where? Within. And you keep yourself there all the time. By the mercy and by the grace of God. Amen. So that's what the devil did. Now, so the question is the wind distracting you? Is the wind distracting you? Look at Matthew 7, 24 to 25. Is the wind distracting us? Let's read it together. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house on a rock. Next verse. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Secret place. So, Papa Ralph told us this many years ago, and Pastor and Mommy have echoed it over the years. The floods test your foundation. The doctrine that you have. The doctrine that you believe. That's why Pastor Woody was preaching this morning that the doctrine of devils is designed so that your house will not be able to stand. It's supposed to weaken it, introduce doubt, so that the house will be shaky. If the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? Have to rebuild it according to the pattern, using the doctrine according to godliness. Now, the rains test your covering. It tests the roof as a covering. Okay? So it tests your attitude to authority and your obedience to instruction. It's two things. Both your attitude to authority and your obedience to instruction. But the wind that blows tests our connection. How much love we are walking in with one another, with your spouse, with your workmate in the office, with your children with their colleagues, children with, you know, so it's looking at the kind of connections that we have, you know, and the idea that Satan wants to do is to really hinder the unity of the house, because that is where he knows that Waterloo is. In unity lies our strength. Look at John 17 21 to 23. Quickly. Thank you. Let's read together. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe thou hast sent me. Next verse. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Next verse. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Amen. And that the world may know. At the first verse, 21, he says the world may believe. But here, they see something different. Something totally different. And now they know that God sent us and has loved us as we have loved him. Okay, right. So, what does this mean? Look at Psalm 133. Now, before that, look at Ephesians chapter 4. Let's read verse 13. Ephesians 4 instead. Give me that first. Verse 13. And then verses 15 and 16. Let's read it together. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Let's take Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. We'll come back. Ephesians 4. Let's read again. Say, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. This is an instruction, compulsory course. This vocation is talking about. Next verse. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Next verse. Verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So you see three things there. Let's go back to verse 15 and 16 of further down. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Next verse. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. What's all that that he's saying? Three things. There are three unities. There's unity of the faith. We all believe in Jesus Christ. Anglican, Methodist, Pentecostal, whatever. Okay? Whatever. Foursquare. We all believe we have a unity of the faith. But we don't have unity of knowledge. The bridge to the unity of knowledge is the unity of the Spirit. The unity of the Spirit is a situation in the body where there is a flow of the life of God from me to you, and there is no hindrance. Amen. So the life of God flows to me, and it can from you, from me, from you it flows to me, from me it can flow to you. So really, when I'm talking about unity of the Spirit, there is a flow around the entire body. It is that that is talking about in verse 15 and 16, that is when he says that no, by that which every joint supplies. So we are all parts of the body, but wherever we meet, every relationship between us is a joint. And that joint must be ministering life. And what Satan does with the wind is to make sure that the joint is not ministering life. So the body is weaker. Bible says, "Must make it increase of itself." The body is fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. So, if the joint does not supply, guess what? The body is weaker, like a jalopy car. As you enter, the parts are not well held together. When you enter some kind of roads, what happens? The bumper will drop. One glass just enter, the glass just enter. I don't know whether I've driven those kind of cars before. The glass just disappear into the door, into the frame of the door. You wonder where did the glass go? that's what he's doing. They make the body open, defenseless, so it can attack. That's what the wind is doing. It's testing our connection. Testing our determination to walk in love. So what he's saying, what God is saying is, what Jesus was telling us is that as he is in the Father, and the Father is in him, because they are in one another, by the flow of the life of God, he wants us to maintain the unity of the Spirit, which is how the glory is going to come. Look at it in Psalm 133 verse 1 to 3. Are we getting something out of this? Amen. All right. So it's important to understand what the wind is, because you see, Peter, Apostle Peter, being distracted by the wind. But we need to know what that really means to us now. Psalm 133. Behold, amplify, please. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to do what? Dwell together in unity. Thank you. Next verse. It is like the precious ointment poured on the head. Who is the head? Jesus Christ. That ran down the beard. Who is the beard? The fathers. Okay? Beard suggests maturity. Okay? Even the beard of Aaron, the first high priest, that came down upon the collar and the skirts of his garments, consecrating the whole body. Life. That river of life is supposed to be flowing in our relationships and our interactions. Life without hindrance. Forgiveness, mercy, love. Working it out amongst us. Very important. It has to be priority, because it is what will make your faith little or make your faith much. Very important to understand that love is the key, because love is the secret place, and that secret place is the place in our hearts. It's not an external location. Last verse. Thank you. It is like the dew of the lofty Mount Hermon and the dew that comes on the hills of Zion, for there the Lord has commanded the blessing. What's the blessing? What's the blessing? What's the blessing? See, before you talk about physical blessings, you must understand that spiritual blessings are greater than physical blessings and create physical blessings. So this is the real McCoy. The Bible talked about that a man was looking for a goodly pearl and found one pearl of great price. That's this one. The blessing. Not blessings. The blessing. The blessing brings the blessings. Life forevermore upon the high and upon the lowly. Everybody. It is when we have that, that he now gives, it is that life that brings the glory. And when we now have the glory now takes us into the unity of knowledge. So really, we start with the unity of faith, then to be able to receive the glory, we walk in the unity of the Spirit. That's why Peter could not walk on the water. Why? Because we were busy arguing who was the greatest. There was already strife and competition amongst them. So really, there was that his heart was not in the place that it could have been, so that he could be able to do that, even though Jesus was there. It's a very important point, brethren. He was under covering. He was under covering in the same boat. Yet, his obedience to instruction, his awareness of instruction, let him down. And that's very important for us. You know, we must step up our obedience level by the mercy and the grace of God. Amen? God's going to help you to do it. But you need to know that it's something that needs to be done. And accept that you need to do it. Amen? Then God will take it. All God needs for us is an acceptance. And determination to move up and move higher. But don't lower the standard. Don't settle for Zoa. Don't say, but I've tried. Other people are not like me. You have not gotten to your destination. Where is our destination? The other side. The promised land. The perfection and the fullness of Christ. The power of the fullness of the Spirit without measure. Am I going to stop until we get there? Amen. Alright. Okay. So we see that. So really, it's important to remember that we must focus on our attitude to authority, our obedience to instruction, and our attitude and relationship to one another. There must be a flow of mercy. There must be a flow of forgiveness. There must be a flow of love. There must be obedience to instruction. And you can see in the converse in Matthew 7:26-27. Matthew 7. As we're going to close. Matthew 7. 26-27, Matthew 7. Let's read the other side now. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. Where is the man foolish? In his heart. He's not smart. He can be highly intelligent. He can be a Nobel laureate. But as far as God is concerned, concerning spiritual things, he has chosen to be foolish because he is disobedient. Disobedience is foolishness. Disobedience is foolishness. And obedience is wisdom. A wise man. Obedience. Okay, all right. So, and doeth, he shall be like a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Next verse. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon us, and it what? Fell. And great was the fall of it. Reminds me of Samson. Samson's fall was great. Great. Even though he killed more people when he fell than when he was standing. But Samson's fall was great. From where he was supposed to be, he was a type of the Christ. Samson was a type of the Christ. So if Samson played his cards very well, you know, he would have been able to tap into some measure of spiritual power that made him invincible. As apart from his strength. Apart from his strength. If he played his cards right, there are other people that made more with less. Angel appeared to his mommy. Everything. He didn't cut his hair. Everything was Nazarene. Fulfill the time. And Samson fell so short. Why? Disobedience. Great was the fall of that house. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. So how do we then do it as we begin to close? Number one, like you guessed from the Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is critical. Is one that leads you into the secret place. The fear of the Lord is one that leads us into the secret place. So what's the fear of the Lord here? The fear of the Lord is that attitude of absolute honesty to God. Absolute honesty to God and to oversight. Now, to God through His Word, but then to oversight in the relationship that you have with them. Okay? You come to the light as they are in the light. You don't stay in the darkness, though, brethren. You don't hide in the shadows. You come out into the light so that the light can search you. I know it's uncomfortable for the light to search. It is. But you're not going to go far if the light does not search. We are not going to go far if the light does not search. There is no hiding place. So you have to, the Bible says that he that doeth truth cometh to the light. John chapter 3 verse 19. I'm not going to tell you, you can put it up. You know, but you have to come to the light. So the light can, after a while, guess what? You get used to the light. It's because we spend so much time in the darkness, so we are used to darkness. So when we come on that light, it's very uncomfortable and very inconvenient, very glaring. But if you stay there and you allow the light to search you, Bible says, search me. No, search my inward parts. Bible says, spirit of man, they can. Let God search me, and if there's any wicked way in me, show me. That's the one that wants to stay in the light. So we have to. That's the fear of the Lord. It's better for me. I prefer to for God to know my weaknesses and for my oversight to know my weaknesses than for me to enjoy a facade of being somewhere where I am not, because nobody knows what's going on the inside. It's opportunity cost, so you have to do the accounting balance and wait. It's better. The fear of the Lord is the certainty. Okay, it's the security of God's mercy and the certainty of His judgment. I know that nobody wants their mistakes to be seen, but that's thinking naturally. Do you want to get that piece of strong confidence? Do you want to have a fountain of life working through you? Do you want that fountain to dispel the snares of death? Then you have to come to the light. Amen. Okay, that's very important. Look at Proverbs chapter 9. So the fear of God, it begins as an attitude, but it ends with obedience to instruction. Proverbs 9, thank you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. See, this is a heart that wants to stay in the light. Try me and know my thoughts. And when God tries you and shows you your thoughts, yes, Lord, this is me. I repent. I want to stop it. And you know, that's the beginning of progress. And then you overcome it. And the next time He shows you this, don't argue, it's not me. He's the one that should have greeted me first. You know, I don't need that apology. That's wrong. Okay, God will help us in Jesus' name. Okay, Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. Quickly. 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy is what? Understanding. We need to know God, all of us, individually, high and lowly. Psalm 133 said, high and lowly. All of us need to know Him. know him at one level or the other. That knowing comes through intimacy of the flow of life, intimacy of the flow of the word of God. But it must first be an open womb. So the fear of God really is an open womb, so that life is able to flow from you to oversight, and from oversight to you, from you to brethren, and from brethren to you, because you are afraid of God. It's very important. Otherwise, we can do what we like, and nobody can hold us, particularly because it's a secret thing. Those things are hidden. Even those people that are spiritual can pick it, but it's a secret thing. Nobody, people will not know externally if you are doing anything wrong. Okay? Alright, let's look at 15:33, same Proverbs. So it starts as an attitude, okay? And the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is what? Humility. So instruction doesn't give us the benefit of our own personal opinion. It just hits you right there. So, you know, it's uncomfortable. It's light. Instruction is light. That's why people say, I don't get the instruction. Just do it and accept it. After, you will understand. Bible says, the understanding doesn't come first. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not on thy own in all thy ways, and he shall die. When God told Abraham to sacrifice his only son, did he understand? Did he understand? He accepted and started on the journey. And in the course of the 3 days, the same God gave Abraham revelation. Don't worry. There must be a purpose for this thing. Maybe it is God that said. And so if God said, that means that if he kills him, he must raise him up. Otherwise, that scripture will be broken. So God, you know, when you reason in the scriptures, God can carry you along. But sometimes we reason out of the scripture. We should learn to reason in the scripture. So, you know, by the time Abraham got to the place where he was supposed to sacrifice, he had calculated everything and his bank balance was positive. So he was ready to kill the boy. And this boy also had been asking questions. Daddy, where is the ram? Daddy, where is the ram? No, of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. Daddy didn't manage that God will provide himself a ram. Aboro. Not for my brethren from all over Nigeria. They say a child who is of quick understanding, somebody who is smart, just to tell them a word, they will make up the sentence. Just give them a word and they'll make up the sentence. Just look at them and they can tell exactly what you're saying by that look. That's what it is. So Isaac didn't tell him, I'm going to have to kill you, son. Don't worry, you're going to come back. Daddy, kill me. Pick race. I'll go back. And what's he going to do? God will provide. So by the time they got there, God had already spoken to Isaac himself. Everyone at their own level. Unity. Wow. I and the children. Unity amongst them. Amen. And God eventually, by the time he got to the place, Isaac lay still. Abraham was ready. Both I and children were ready. Then God said, now I know. We're going to get there in Jesus' name. Both we and our parents and our fathers will be ready. By the flow of the life of God, you will pick it at your level and do what you're supposed to do. They will pick it at level and without communicating directly, everybody will understand what is the will of God. That's where God is taking us to. Amen. Amen. So that's the fear of the Lord. That will lead us into the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I don't want to go over that, but you can summarize that by cleaning with the blood. Okay, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 to 10. Loading with the word and praying with travail, as well as the communion prayer. Okay, that's to release the power of the Holy Spirit. But I want to really focus here on loading with the word. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Okay, it's very important. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4. Let's read together. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The knowledge of the life of God is not very common. It's not very common. And I wonder how, it's no wonder you can see the things that are happening, you know, on the earth with Christians. It should not be. It should not be, brethren. We are living below what Jesus has provided. But God is going to raise us up in Jesus' name. Exceeding greater. But the divine nature here is eternal life. John 5:26. Is a substance. And when that substance is the nature that is inside God that makes God God, and God wants us to be partakers of that nature so we can escape the corruption in the world. So without that nature, you can't escape. That's the basis upon which we are sanctified. That's the reason upon we are transformed, our minds are renewed, our wills are renewed, you know, and realigned, and our, and then we develop the fruit of the Spirit. So it's very much, look at verse 5. That takes us into the next thing. Law of the Spirit of life takes us into the diligent practice of divine law. And beside this, giving all diligence. So it's not some. It's diligence in several areas. Diligence in prayer. Diligence in keeping your heart and your attitude. Diligence in reading the word. Diligence in studying the word. Diligence in forgiveness. Diligence in fasting and leading a fasted life. In giving all diligence. But you grow into it. But the important thing is that you know that I need to grow in all these areas. Amen. So besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith, virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. Next verse. And to knowledge, temperance, and temperance, patience. Let's skip to verse 7. Brotherly and charity. Okay, next verse. For if these things, the fruit of the Spirit, which is the love of God, are in you and abound, they make you. That's what God wants to do. Make us. Amen. That we shall never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Next verse. No, give it to me in verse 10. Verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. Next verse. For so an entrance shall be meted unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Exactly what Jesus had. Amen. And that's the will of God for us in Jesus' name. So how do we practice the love of God? We must, of course, keep our hearts with all diligence. And then look at Psalm 119 verse 11. We must hide the word, you know, in Psalm 119 verse 11. We hide, say, thy word have I hid. Where? That's where you keep instruction. You keep instruction in our heart. So that we will not sin against God. If you keep it in your heart, it won't go away. You keep it, then you check it. Is it there? Then you check it again. You'll be there. So there are scriptures, you put them in your heart. Like Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1 to 2. You know? And you say it to yourself in your mind. And you are saying you are praying in the Spirit. When you are praying in tongues, you're not praying idly. You are meditating on the Word of God. So as you are thinking, you are praying. As you are thinking, you are praying. You know what you are doing. You are keeping your heart in the secret place. So when God don't talk to you, your heart is open and ready. Amen. That's the will of God for us. And then number 4, which is the end of this, is to exercise our faith by habitually speaking into our situation. This is very important. Pastor taught us about the attitude of faith. Let's look at it. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. This is very important. Okay, we having the same spirit of faith, according as is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak. This means that you go to the Word of God, and the same spirit of faith that the Holy Spirit gave the people that wrote the Word of God can be given to you. And by looking at the Word of God for yourself, by meditating on it for yourself, that same Spirit can come into your heart. So you have that assurance of that scripture, much like the person who wrote it. Remember, Paul was not with Jesus. Yet Paul had more faith than some people that were with Jesus personally. So this is the principle he's giving us, that if you go to the word of God and you look at it and you believe it and you ingest it and meditate it and you speak it, you release spiritual power into the air. That's how you turn on the tap. That river of life is flowing from God. It comes to us through Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit ministers it to us through oversight. Oversight gives it, releases it to us. And then we now begin to dispense it to people under the sphere of our influence. Very important. People that are in your connection. That life must flow. That life must what?
Flow.
That life must what?
Flow.
And when, so you, how does it flow? People do things against you. When they do things against you, you go back to the word of God. How is this person supposed to be? It's supposed to be virtuous. Okay, so it's a virtuous woman. She opens her lip with, most opens her mouth with kindness. In her mouth is a law of kindness. She opens her lips with wisdom. You declare what the Bible says and you pray about it. Guess what? It will erase the memory of what they did. And you will be seeing that person with the eye of faith in your mind. This is very important. So you speak to your children. Let me even tell you, even better, you speak concerning oversight. Say, I love my pastor and mommy. I say, they will live, they will not die. Lord, you will cause their Aaron's rod to bud and blossom and bring forth almonds. Their children are blessed in Jesus' name. Their children will bring them joy. They will eat the fruit of their labor. You will bless them and then you will pray in the spirit. How won't it be well with you? It will be well with you. That's that faith. You declare every time. Don't wait for the storm. Don't wait for the wind. Keep doing it every day. You know what will happen? The day the storm comes, it's just habit. You will answer back with the words of truth. That's the will of God for us. God will help us in Jesus' name. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Let's talk to God. Attitude of the fear of the Lord. Taking you into fulfilling the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Then that takes you into practicing the love of God diligently. And you enter into that secret place. Then you stay there by making sure that you are focused on instruction. Don't look to the right, don't look to the left. Look at the instruction. What was the instruction? Where there is no instruction, ask for one. Just to be clear. And then speak it. And say it. And speak it. And do it. And speak it. And say it. And you will be there. It keeps your heart steadfast. Remember, the secret place of Most High is the strongest place there is. Many waters cannot quench love. Physical attacks cannot quench love. If you come into the love of God and you stay there by holding on to the fear of God, hold fast to the fear of God. Let no man take your crown. Don't respond in kind. Don't respond in kind. Fear God and walk in love. Respond in love. Yes, they don't deserve it, but you too don't deserve it. I as well don't deserve it. Make up your mind. Start speaking into your life for yourself. Lord, I overcome this infirmity. Lord, I overcome this red alert. Lord, I overcome this area of my life. My son stops doing this. He is now a child of delight. Speak it. Stand your ground in faith. And take everybody with you into the secret place. So you can dominate by the power that is coming out of you. And then the people around you will change. They will get better. because of the force of life and love flowing out of us. Father of lights, draw me closer.
Lord, my heart,
Lord, my heart is set on you.
Let me run
the rings of time
with your life
and fold in mine, and let the peace of God let it reign.
Holy Spirit,
you're my comfort.
Raise that right hand to God. Lord, I hunger for more of you. That's what you're doing with that hand up. Put the other hand on your heart. Holy Spirit, enfold my heart in yours as we pray. Say, Father, we confess our sins, and so we clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, showing me that the secret place of the Most High, the place of refuge, the place of the fountain of life, is in my heart, even in the love of God that I cultivate and exercise by the fear of God and by obedience to the instructions of my fathers and the law of the Spirit of life. Heavenly Father, have mercy on me. Help me to be faithful. Grant me grace. Help me to be diligent, that I would diligently hunger and thirst after you, seeking you with all of my heart, that you will be my first love, you will be my priority, and I will follow you into the holiest of all, into the secret place in my heart, and I will stay there as I meditate on your word and keep my heart with all diligence. Help me, Lord, to dwell in that secret place so power, life will flow into my mind, into my body, healing me, strengthening me, into my circumstances, protecting my loved ones, causing us to overcome and to subdue the power that is in the air, working through men, that we will live the victorious, transcendent life of the Son of God on the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit.
Rabakata, Zengelebebedika Papa, Jeff Bombabika Kakaya, Rene de Vesota, Rebabange, Papa, Popeknal, Jombe, Bakdom Domde, Jopa Popo, Pekenebebe, Ropa Pondiasa, Ropa Poke Kambede, Genomop, Genomop, Reneba, Benenebesape, Jeff Rebeka, Rope Pepe, Genomombe, Katka, Jone, Rodebesa, Bambo, Pekanamaya, Ropo Pe. In Jesus' name, amen.